All right. You're listening to Green Left Radio, and we now have our third guest on the program today. We have Paz Forghani, who has actually been a regular on our program. Paz is part of the Anti-Poverty Network South Australia and has previously been the coordinator of the Anti-Poverty Network. He was also part of the Australian Council of Social Services and was there, was part of, it's been a long time campaigner around raising the rate, i.e. the kind of job seeker rate. So now we have Paz on because the federal government has made a kind of like a recent announcement. They've announced that they're going to be legislating the first increase to job seeker in years, because job seeker has not been increased in any real terms. However, in the context of everything, the increase is really completely insufficient. So we're going to be having a discussion about Paz, about all the dynamics of that. So good morning, Paz.
Good morning, Jacob.
Okay, so I guess the first kind of question is, I guess what I want to kind of hear your comments on what this job seeker increase actually is and how why it's completely insufficient.
Yeah, well, I mean, completely insufficient might be putting it kindly. I'll use words like cruel, insulting, pathetic. The increase, which is not really like an increase, I'll get to that in a second, amounts to just under $4 a day or $25 a week. So to put things in perspective, pre-COVID, you know, this time last year, job seeker, as we all remember, was, you know, $40 a day. With this increase that has just been announced a few days ago, job seeker would go up to $44 a day. So it is a pretty disgraceful announcement. It almost feels like it mocks, you know, the needs of the, you know, 1.5 million unemployed people who even right now, before this comes into effect, even right now, these people are struggling to look after their health and look after their finances. And we say like increase, but in fact, it's not an increase. It's $50 a week less than what people on JobSeeker are receiving as of today. You know, when this so-called increase is legislated, which I assume it will be because it looks like the Labor Party are going to waive it through, it'll leave job seeker not only on just $44 a day, but over $200 a week below the poverty line. So not only is it insufficient, but it's vicious. It ignores the real hardship, the real suffering that I think at this point just about the whole country is aware of, like including of course the government. They've chosen to prioritize other things, like ahead of, you know, people in this country, you know, being able to afford meals and medicines and keep a roof over their head.
Yeah, so one interesting thing to note is obviously in the years of this, of the kind of raise the rate kind of campaigning by groups like the Anti-Poverty Network and Unemployed Workers Union have always been calling for a much more substantial increase to JobSeeker, which was formerly known as Newstart. And of course, that's kind of always existed. But then there's also been charity organisations and social services organisations who have actually been demanding that the government raise the JobSeeker rate to be above the kind of poverty line. But also most kind of interestingly, there's also been some business councils who are not necessarily our allies. And in fact, a lot of these business councils represent businesses that are completely complicit in the exploitation of workers and so on. But even some of those kind of political forces have been calling for a much more substantial increase than what the federal government is actually doing. And especially also interested in kind of hearing what is the actual response to the Labor Party issue. So anyway, this is a bit of a This question kind of goes into all sorts of different things, but I kind of want to hear kind of your comments on all those sort of things.
Yeah, it is. It's unusual to find an issue where you get such a wide consensus, a consensus involving, activist groups, charity and NGO organizations, business groups. But I think that's just a reflection of, how low job seeker / new start has been, how long it's been since the last permanent raise, not including the COVID supplement, which is obviously temporary, as we found out. 27 years was the last time that there was a permanent raise to what was then called New Start. Of course, there are big differences of opinion in terms of how big the raise ought to be, but no one was calling for a 25 a week raise. Not even, I should say, the business groups like the Business Council of Australia and the Small Business Council, even they were calling for a much substantial increase than this. For grassroots organisations like the Anti-Poverty Network and the Unemployed Workers Union, who, our views are informed by the people living it, by people on, JobSeeker and Youth Allowance and other payments. Our position is actually really, really simple, Jacob. No one should be living below the poverty line. And actually, the rate that JobSeeker was during COVID, which was $80 a day or $550 a week, that's when, the government basically doubled the payment and introduced the supplement, that rate could have been made permanent. And that's exactly what we've been calling for. The government flicked its fingers, snapped its fingers, and millions of people were lifted above the poverty line. In some cases, for the first time in years, some cases for the first time in their lives. And we saw, extraordinary stories of, people being able to rebuild their health and, using that extra money to flee violence and relationships and, being able to move out of their parents' garage and, being able to get laptops for their school children so that they can do their homework. So that was our position. The government showed how easily and how quickly it could get rid of poverty, and it could have made that, it could have made that rate, $80 a day, $550 a week permanent. And of course, we wanted pensioners and carers to be lifted up and obviously migrant workers and students who get no income support at all. But the government has also shown how easily and quickly it can plunge people back into poverty. Now, as for the Labor Party, well, they've been giving us mixed signals, as is often the case. A couple of days ago, they voted for a Greens motion in the Senate, put up by Senator Rachel Seward, calling for JobSeeker to be lifted back above the poverty line. It's been reported yesterday that Labor, will support the 25 a week increase, which, as we know, is not actually an increase. It's a $50 a week cut from where we are at now. So currently, it's looking like this, pathetic, measly increase will go through Parliament with Labors of support. Of course, it's never too late. The legislation will not be debated till mid-March, so there certainly is, time to put pressure on Labor to grow a spine and actually come out and play hardball and work with the independents to try to negotiate a bigger raise. All of that is possible, but we'll take concerted community pressure from all of us.
Past one of the arguments that was raised sort of at the height of the pandemic was that at $80 a day, there is a disincentive for people on JobSeeker to accept basically low-paid jobs. I'm wondering if you can respond to that idea.
Yeah, well, I always thought that was a rubbish argument. A few things. First, worth noting that even when JobSeeker was $550 a week, it was still roughly $240 a week below the full-time minimum wage. So, you know, there was still a gap, a discrepancy there. And that means that, I mean, people on JobSeeker at that rate, you know, would always derive some financial benefit from, you know, being in paid work if they can find it, you know, which is always a big if, you know, particularly at the moment. The way the Centrelink system works is that, your payment, you know, gradually goes down as you get more and more paid hours of work. So, you know, the disincentive argument is rubbish because, you know, you're always better off financially from, like, paid work. The other thing I wanted to say is, you know, if when you lift up unemployed people and get them to a point where they're not, they can eat more than once a day, where they're not under constant pressure, where they're not, you know, going to sleep every night, you know, fretting about how they've got to, you know, cope the next day. And if when you do that, there are certain kinds of jobs that become harder to fill, well, maybe that's an incentive for, you know, businesses. Let's look at the fact that there are some, you know, really low paid, unpleasant jobs out there that ought to be redesigned. The fact is that there are some, you know, really, really awful jobs out there. And if the only way to fill those jobs is to have people in grinding poverty who are going to bed hungry, who can't afford medication, whose mental health is being smashed, well, I say, you know, I mean, those jobs ought not to exist. If businesses need to fill those jobs, well, you know, they ought to look at our conditions and pay. I mean, we talk about incentives for the unemployed to go out and work, but we never talk about incentives for, you know, businesses to design, you know, less horrid and less exploitative and less unsafe jobs. So that argument's rubbish. And also worth noting that actually there's no evidence that there's a relationship between the level of, like, unemployment payments and the rate of unemployment. In fact, if anything, the relationship seems to be in the OECD that countries with higher, unemployment payments, those countries tend to have lower rates of unemployment. So the evidence is actually very, very weak. But, of course, this is the argument that keeps coming out over and over again. You know, you get a cafe owner in Bundaberg who says that they can't find people to work for them. Then you find out that they're pay rate's barely minimum wage and they're only offering, you know, 10 hours a week, and that's obviously not a livable income. So you kind of look into the detail and you find out, well, okay, these jobs that aren't being filled, let's actually have a look at their conditions and pay. And what you find out is that they're atrocious jobs, and we couldn't possibly blame anyone who says no to a job that's going to leave them in poverty, that's going to damage their health, that's, you know, really unsociable hours, jobs that they can't possibly do because they don't actually have the money to be able to, you know, move out to the regions, you know, say in the case of, you know, fruit picking jobs, or let alone the fact that, you know, like half of unemployed people, like, are over the age of 45, and we have a growing number of people who are, like, unemployed, who've got a diagnosed disability. So I wouldn't ask those people to pick fruit. I mean, that's hard work even for people who are, like, able-bodied.
Yeah. And I think just one last kind of thing, is I just want to kind of quickly, conclude this interview soon because we're running out of time and we're getting to the end of the program. I just want to quickly hear a quick comment from you on part of the new job seeker changes is this new implementation of a new system, which they're not calling it this, but we'll refer it to as Job Seeker, which basically gives employees, well, basically if an employer offers someone on Job Seeker a job, and that said person declines the job, that said employer now has the ability to dob that person into Centrelink to potentially get their payment suspended.
Yeah, I mean, nasty garbage. Worth noting that, you know, this proposal was so stupid, so ideological, that actually even like employer groups come out and said, like, look, we're not going to use this. We're not going to have, like, anything to do with this, you know, idiotic hotline. I mean, it is, you know, there are all sorts of reasons why people might refuse jobs, you know, reasons them to do with their health and their safety and I'm feeling like the culture of an organization is not right for them. I mean, penalizing those people is cruel. It gives bosses more power to drive down wages and conditions. You can imagine a situation where, like, during a strike, you know, people who are hired on as scabs are in a position where they cannot say a no to being a scab, which I think is like an awful position for someone to be in. You can imagine situations where bosses who are like harassing their like employees are in a position where they could potentially use this hotline to like intimidate people into, you know, like accepting, you know, very, very shoddy jobs with them. So yeah, this is really, really awful stuff, and fortunately it's looking like Labor is going to oppose this hotline. So I think there's a fair chance that it won't actually be legislated.
Okay, well, we've got to conclude this interview kind of now. Do you kind of have, like, final comments to kind of make on how people can support the efforts of anti-poverty campaigners and putting pressure on the government to raise the rate?
Yep. There's a national week of action, March 15 to March 19. There are events happening all over the country. This is being hosted by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, Get Up, Life, the Living Incomes for Everyone Coalition. There's stuff online and on Facebook, so please go and check it out. And of course, in the meantime, you know, those of you who have time and energy, you know, contact the coalition, and in particular, you know, contact the Labor Party. Tell them, you know, to grow a spine and come out and say that this increase is pathetic, and get Labor to try and fight for something less meagre. But yeah, March 15 to March 19, National Week of Action. There's activities happening all over the country. Look it up.
All right. Thank you very much, Paz. Anyway, we've got quickly resolve. Thanks for being on the program.
No worries.